"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Life is uncertain. It's okay to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal. With CalHOPE's free and secure mental health resources, it's easy to get the help you and your loved ones need when you need it the most. Call our warm line at 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org today.
Jane Wells from CNBC filling in for John and Ken. As you heard, the market was up today. We haven't had too many up markets lately. Later in this hour, all things going on with the richest man in the world. We've been talking about the late Queen Elizabeth and her fortune, which some of which will now pass to King Charles III. Elon Musk is also in the news a lot, and he even commented on the Queen with a little rest in peace thing. But the big local story is, who will be King or Queen of Los Angeles? Who will become the next mayor? Will it be Karen Bass or will it be Rick Caruso? Turns out they both went to USC. One paid, the other got a free scholarship. Karen Bass is now part of a federal investigation into free scholarships handed out in the School of Social Work, one to her and one to Mark Ridley Thomas. Mark Ridley Thomas and the former head of the School of Social Work are the ones who are under investigation, but she's now been dragged into it. On the phone with us now is City Councilman Joe Buscaino, who is a Rick Caruso supporter. Joe, she's not under criminal investigation herself. Does this mean anything?
It does. It does, Jane. Thanks for having me on. It's what the prosecutors clearly said, that Karen Bass is a critical party to the Mark Ridley Thomas corruption prosecution, and that should raise some flags. Bottom line, Jane, that Karen Bass got the same deal as Mark Ridley Thomas. She didn't even apply for the scholarship or the program, and she got all that to get funds for the school. Clear pay to play here. Clear quid pro quo.
They're trying to connect the dots. They haven't yet. That according to the court filings, allegedly the former head of the School of Social Work wanted Bass's support in a bill in Congress that would have expanded USC and other private universities' access to federal funding for social work. That in itself makes my head explode, but I'll talk about that in a minute. They haven't been able to connect the dots, and she says that, you know, she was never. Allegedly, she says she was never spoke with Flynn about this. So why are they even? Isn't this just to build their case against Flynn and not really anything against Karen Bass?
Regardless, what, you know, how they're building their case, that Karen Bass has been implied into this criminal investigation and in this corruption investigation. Look, this is not what I'm saying. This is not what you're saying. This is not, you know, from a third party. It's all coming from prosecutors who have stated their case and what the LA Times has reported. This does not look good. Perception is reality. And I know that the Karen Bass team today is scrambling.
Rick Caruso sent out a press release that he was going to have a press conference, which he apparently did. But people, I'm seeing all over Twitter, people who responded to RSVP to that, members of the media, got some weird message saying that I'm a whistleblower and I think Caruso shouldn't be mayor. What was that all about? Do you know?
Clearly a distraction. It came out of the blue. Not understanding where this thing came from, but it's a pathetic and a desperate attempt to tax Rick's campaign and what he's trying to accomplish and lead a city that will be free and clear of corruption, change the culture of City Hall, increase public safety resources, and hold people accountable at City Hall.
Let me tell you, because you're a city councilman, I have been out of the state, in fact, out of the country for much of the last few months. And it was also kind of a nice break, I got to say. And when you come back to Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, Portland, San Diego, any of the cities on the West Coast, you don't see it elsewhere in the country like you do here. I mean, the homeless problem is just overwhelming. And we got new numbers today on the LA County homeless count. They show an increase from 2020. It's up 4.1%. I think that's way too small. What's Rick Caruso, if elected, what's he going to do about it?
He's going to fix it and not talk about it and not look at studies and create task forces. I have seen firsthand what needs to be done being a member of the city council. If you come to my district, we have moved quickly on emergency housing, not wait 3 to 5 years on apartments. So Rick's plan is to build 30,000 beds within the first 12 to 18 months and do so with urgency. And at the same time, Rick is also believes the balanced approach here, that with a solution needs to come accountability and consequences for those who don't want to move into a safer location. Again, it's a carbon copy of what I've done in my district, Jane. And if you look at the numbers that just came out today, in my council district, we have actually seen an increase of people going into emergency shelters off the streets and reduction of those living on the street. That is the perfect solution moving forward. And we'll continue to build the permanent supportive housing. But I can tell you, we cannot wait 3 to 5 years at $800,000 a door.
Yeah, let me just ask you that, because out where I live, which is in Ventura County, they're taking over an older hotel and converting it, which seems to me just an infinitely cheaper way and more expedient way to do it the way they did with Project Roomkey. I mean, do we really need to build?
We don't. Everything ought to be on the table in solving this homelessness crisis. And I'm happy to hear Ventura's doing their part, because oftentimes in the county of Los Angeles, city of L.A. is one of 88 cities. The other 87 cities, rather, are not doing their part. And you also have a court ruling that indicates, that states that we cannot enforce any law unless the individual on the street is offered a safer place to go. That is, again, when you have city attorneys like ours in the city of L.A., you know, doesn't have the spine to push back against these activists. Here in L.A., in the state of California, it's the largest homeless population in the country. So, yes, come to California, come to L.A., pitch a tent, not be held accountable, and just wait for your apartment. And so this is what we've been caught up in.
It's just astounding to me, because it's not just California, it's the West Coast. It's from Seattle all the way down to San Diego, and you don't see it. You go to any other major city in America, and there are homeless people everywhere, but you don't have them like you have them here. And some of those places, like Florida, for example, have decent weather through part of the year. And I know it is a complicated problem. With many, many solutions necessary. And I know we've gotten off track here, because I was supposed to ask you about Karen Bass and Rick Caruso, but this is one issue that I think the city faces. If people who come to visit Los Angeles are saying, what is, you drive down, what is going on here? And I know there's drug and alcohol addiction and there's mental health issues and there's all sorts of things, but I hope whoever gets elected is willing to take on the special interests and sometimes be mean. Be compassionate, but sometimes be mean.
Just accountability. That's all we ask for. And going back to how we started this conversation, when we talk about how different Rick Caruso and Karen Bass is on addressing homelessness, you know, Karen Bass has been on record stating that she cannot fix a homeless issue within the 4 years. She's on record saying that. So Caruso will and can, and Karen won't. She'll talk about the root causes of homelessness, whereas we damn well know what the root causes of homelessness are, and it's not all about housing, as you indicated. Mental health, drug addiction, the county needs to step up. Counties up and down the state of California, we need to lead with urgency, with compassion, but also accountability. We cannot allow people to destroy themselves on the streets when a better place for them, when there's a better option for them.
Well, I remain hopeful, Councilman, and I thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Thanks, Jane, for having me.
Okay, great. Thank you. We will have Steve Gregory joining us at 5 o'clock, who was at the news conference where Rick Caruso spoke and can also maybe address this weird hacking of the account or whatever happened. But coming up next, the man who used to be Los Angeles's wealthiest resident, who now has decamped to Texas. He is the world's richest man, Elon Musk, and the legal issues, as always, when you're that rich, are fast and furious. And the people who lost money on Dogecoin are really, really angry that he called it a hustle. Jane Wells filling in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. JaneWells.Bulletin.com with my business newsletter called Well Street. Filling in for John and Ken. Producer Ray just handing me, who came before King Charles III? Life and death of King Charles I and II. Oh, yeah, we got, look, there's other stuff to talk about, I know, and but she was the most famous woman in the world. I would put her up there, more famous than, you know, Oprah or Kim Kardashian. They're the most famous family in the world. And it's just, as I have said repeatedly, the money they brought in tourism to that country more than offset whatever the taxpayers have had to shell out. They just are the masters of PR. Charles, not his mother, but I think, you know, we will see what happens. He's 73 years old. He'll probably be on the throne 20 years, given the longevity of that family. And then we will have King William, although William may not, you don't have to keep your name. Elizabeth II kind of broke with tradition there by keeping her name, and now her son has followed in her shoes. But Queen Elizabeth, speaking of Kim Kardashian, did break the internet. Today, Twitter had some outages after news of her passing broke, as everybody, you know, had a cow. But also weighing in is Elon Musk, the world's richest man, who has posted a rest in peace or replied to some tweet. He has got like 105 million Twitter followers now, and he can move things. You know, people used to say that Trump would move the market with a tweet. No, Elon Musk can move the market with a tweet. And that is one of the reasons he is now facing a lawsuit, and that is expanding. It is a lawsuit that is trying to, I think, reach class action status, a racketeering lawsuit accusing him of running a, quote, pyramid scheme to support the cryptocurrency Dogecoin. It has added new investors, and it's now suing more defendants, including all of his companies, including Boring Company. Basically, what these investors are saying, that Elon hyped Dogecoin, drove it up more than 36,000% over 2 years, and then, quote, let it crash. So Dogecoin, which is now worth about 6 cents per Doge, if you were to convert it into dollars, peaked around 74 cents May a year ago as Elon, you know, look, if you're investing because Elon Musk is making a joke about, you know, Shiba Inu or Doge on Twitter, I don't have a lot of sympathy for you, but they're claiming that after he went on Saturday Night Live and said this, the value plummeted. Here it is.
My question is, what is Dogecoin?
I'm glad you asked.
It's a good question.
Well, it's the future of currency. It's an unstoppable financial vehicle that's going to take over the world.
I get that, but what is it, man?
I keep telling you, it's a cryptocurrency you can trade for conventional money.
Oh, so it's a hustle.
Yeah, it's a hustle.
I didn't say that, man. Don't bother everybody. It's a hustle.
To the moon.
So after that, people started selling Doge, not because they were probably surprised that it was a hustle, but that they realized it was going to lose value. And these people who were, quote, diamond hands, meaning they never give up and expecting it to go to the moon, lost a lot of money. And they're saying basically that they're calling it a racketeering lawsuit. Now, it seems to me, and I'm not an attorney, that he would have to profit from this. And they're claiming that the defendants, meaning Musk and his companies, profited tens of billions of dollars. But I have yet to see any proof that Elon sold Doge going into his Saturday Night Live appearance. So if this was some sort of pump and dump scheme of his, I'm not seeing the proof of it yet. And I think you have a pretty tall hill to climb to claim that a guy who's joking around on Twitter, which you don't think it's a joke, cost you money. You know, good luck. He has a pretty good track record in court. We will have to see what his lawsuit with Twitter and the counter lawsuit is. That's going on, and the latest in that right now. And for those of you who don't know, last April, Elon Musk said, I'm going to buy Twitter. And the stock shot up and the price was going to be $44 billion. And I never thought he really wanted to buy Twitter. I think he was just trying to make Twitter better. But, gee, shockingly enough, he got cold feet and tried to pull out of it, saying Twitter wasn't being honest about its fake user accounts. Twitter sued for $44 billion. He's countersuing. They've been in court in Delaware as they move forward with this. He wanted the trial delayed because now this whistleblower has come along and said Twitter has several breaches of security it ignored. Wall Street Journal is now reporting this whistleblower was paid $7 million in a June settlement. But yet this information still came out about Twitter. Not really relevant to the fake accounts. But the latest is that the judge has slammed Elon for not handing over all his texts. He was supposed to hand out all his text messages over this Twitter thing. It became clear he didn't, because text messages from the other side came to light showing his conversations with him that the judge hadn't received from Elon's side. So she's ticked off about that, and it's pretty bad when you've ticked off the judge. But again, Elon has a pretty good track record in court. We'll have to see if he's forced to buy Twitter and at what price. But what was interesting about the text messages that were revealed, and this came out today, that he said in these messages in May to a banker at Morgan Stanley, which was helping to finance part of the Twitter deal, that he wanted to slow it down because Putin was about to give a speech. Quote, let's slow down just a few days. Reading out the text message, Putin's speech tomorrow is really important. It won't make sense to buy Twitter if we're heading into World War III. Well, that is not the reason he pulled out of the Twitter deal. He pulled out of the Twitter deal because he came up with this, well, you're lying to me about fake accounts. So whether this means anything, his attorneys are saying, no, this is taken out of context. Bottom line, this will be the biggest test of the richest man in the world in court. You know, he won the case against the guy he accused, who sued him for libel when he called him a pedophile over the cave rescue of the Thai soccer team. You know, I think he's going to win a suit against these Dogecoin people who lost money because there's no proof of some sort of conspiracy that he was pumping the stock in order to dump it at their expense. This Twitter thing, I don't know. I tend to think, and I am not a lawyer or an expert, but my spidey sense tells me, having covered a lot of these lawsuits, he's just going to have to pay more than the $1 billion breakup fee. But Twitter wants this case over sooner rather than later because its stock has lost about 24% of the value since this happened. All right, I hope I didn't confuse you. When we come back, we'll talk about the story of the day, the latest on Queen Elizabeth II's passing. What happens now? There's this whole timeline and ceremony. What happens over the next 10 days? And then later this hour, would you rent a stranger's pool on a hot day? Would you rent your pool out to strangers on a hot day? One of the fastest growing sharing economy apps out there. It is an amazing story. A friend of mine is making $5,000 a month renting out her pool. Jane Wells filling in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. It's been like a year since I've been in here. In fact, I almost walked in to the Petros and Money show instead of this booth. It's a little confusing. And I talk too fast when I haven't done this in a while. I get so excited. I just need to, you know, Mark Rahner, maybe you can give me some. I just need to kind of slow down.
No, you're doing fine. But it is a little bit like a rat maze in here lately with some construction going on. It's hard to kind of find your way to where you need to be. Yesterday, the elevators were closed and I could barely find my way out of the building.
I thought you were going to say I sounded like I'm in a rat maze, which is also possibly true. Next hour, we are going to speak with Alex Stone about the murder of this journalist in Las Vegas, and a local politician or elected official is in custody. A crazy, crazy story. But the story of the day is the passing of Queen Elizabeth II, the 41st monarch, or Charles, excuse me, King Charles III is the 41st. She was 40th. Over nearly 1,000 years, we're going back to William the Conqueror in 1066, who, by the way, wasn't English, came across from France, never spoke English. The guy who pulled together the British kingdom did not even speak the language. And now his 41st heir, if there actually is a drop of blood in William the Conqueror's in Charles's veins. Who knows? Because I always felt the Windsors were more, you know, German than English, but that's another story. So what happens over the next 10 days? And according to the London Daily Mirror, there is a whole, it's all laid out, you know, this whole pomp and circumstance and ceremony that has to be happened. On the day the Queen dies, which is today, according to them, there will be a message delivered by her private secretary and sent to members of the Privy Council office. MPs and senior civil servants will receive a call and an email stating, "Dear colleagues, it is with sadness that I write to inform you of the death of Her Majesty the Queen." Then it says on here on that day, King Charles is supposed to address the nation on television. No, he did tweet out a statement. But a very nice statement, King Charles. But he is not as far. No, there's been no television broadcast yet. The prime minister is supposed to hold an audience with Charles. I don't think that quite happened yet because they're all in Scotland and she's at 10 Downing Street. Starting tomorrow, the following morning, members of the Accession Council will name Charles the new king. Well, they can do that, but he is already the minute his mother took her last breath. And the next breath he took, it was his first as king. And her coffin will be brought to Buckingham Palace. That will probably not happen tomorrow. I have heard reports that she will lie in state up at Balmoral for a few days, and then they will bring her south to Buckingham Palace. On the days 3 and 4, according to what is tradition or what was planned, King Charles sets off on his first UK tour. He will visit the Scottish Parliament and St. Giles Cathedral in Edinburgh, then Northern Ireland's Hillsborough Castle, and a service at St. Anne's Cathedral in Belfast. Down in London, meticulous rehearsals for the funeral will be taking place. Day 5, a procession will begin, moving from Buckingham Palace and ending at the Houses of Parliament ahead of a service that will be held at Westminster Hall. The Queen will then lie in state for 3 days as members of the public are given access to see her coffin. Days 6 to 9, King Charles will visit Wales and the Parliament there and a service in the cathedral there. The government at this point will be putting finishing touches to their plans for the day of the funeral as hundreds of thousands of mourners flock to the street. And finally, on day 10 will be the Queen's funeral. There will be a committal service held at St. George's Chapel. Employers will not be obligated to give staff a day off, though it will be a national day, a day of national mourning, and there will be a 2-minute silence held across Britain. The funeral will take place at Westminster Abbey, followed by a committal service at St. George's Chapel at Windsor Castle, where Queen Elizabeth II will be buried in the King George IV Memorial Chapel. Earlier today, I mean, I have argued that the three greatest monarchs in the 41 that have ruled Britain, England, have been women, whether it was Elizabeth I, who ruled for 45 years. Queen Victoria, who ruled for 63 years, where it became the sun never set on the British Empire. Of course, that changed. And now Elizabeth II for 70 years. So Charles has kept his name. Elizabeth kept her name. That's not always the case. Elizabeth's father, well, I think he was an Albert, and he changed to George. So here's a story out of the New York Post which caught our eye. The new King of England, King Charles III, is a moniker he once reportedly considered rejecting to avoid links to the bloody and turbulent history of Charles I and Charles II. Now, Charles I was, I think, two generations removed from Elizabeth I. He ruled from 1625 to 1649. He led the country through a bloody civil war, remains the only English monarch to be executed. Oliver Cromwell had him beheaded in 1649. Now, his son, Charles II, who was immediately king, but Cromwell was running the show, spent about 20 years in exile until Cromwell was beheaded in 1658, and then he returned to England. So the name Charles is tinged with so much sadness, said one trusted friend, said back in 2005, when allegedly Charles was considering changing his name to George the Seventh to honor his grandfather, George the Sixth. Now, days after that reporting happened in 2005, the palace said, no, this is not. Charles never considered changing his name. It was always going to be Charles. And in fact, that is the case. He is King Charles III. And over the next few days, he will begin a royal tour with this new title. Oh my gosh, with Queen Consort Camilla. I want to play in sort of looking forward what the new prime minister, who just met Queen Elizabeth 2 days ago, well, I don't know if it's the first time she met her, but met with her in the Queen's last official act. Liz Truss had this to say outside 10 Downing Street today.
Today, the crown passes, as it has done for more than 1,000 years, to our new monarch, our new head of state, His Majesty King Charles III. With the King's family, we mourn the loss of his mother. And as we mourn, we must come together as a people to support him, to help him bear the awesome responsibility that he now carries for us all. We offer him our loyalty and devotion, just as his mother devoted so much to so many for so long. And with the passing of the second Elizabethan age, we usher in a new era in the magnificent history of our great country, exactly as Her Majesty would have wished, by saying the words, God save the King.
Now, that's a phrase they haven't heard in Britain in 70 years, since shortly after the end of World War II, where King George VI and his wife stayed in London during the Blitz, and it just an amazing time. And now, at 73 years old, King Charles is the oldest man to assume the crown this first year. And so we'll see. I mean, you know, good genes in that family. It may be a while before William gets there. So many people thought, oh, maybe Charles will say, hey, you know, we'll take a pass. No. He's been waiting a very long time. And I think the country has sort of turned around and started to accept him again much more as in the years that have passed since Diana died and all the ugliness that came out of that. I just want to add one thing about Liz Truss. By the way, England's had three fantastic queens and now on its third female prime minister. America, come on. Of course, we don't have a lot of great choices when it's come to those who actually throw their hat in the ring. I mean, our vice president has a hard time doing the vice president thing. You know what I mean? Liz Truss. If you were to tweet at Liz Truss, it is not Liz Truss. It's some woman named Liz Trussell. And all these heads of state over the last few days have been congratulating her, including the head of the Swedish government. And this woman, this Liz Trussell, has been having a blast. She said, thanks. I can't wait to get over there. Please, you know, get the meatballs ready. I've been shopping at IKEA. It's hysterical. But she has been a good sport about it, and she has been silent today. It's not a day too much for jokes. When we come back, would you rent your swimming pool out to strangers, take on the liability for thousands of dollars a month? A friend of mine has done it. We're going to talk about Swimply. Jane Wells filling in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. I'm continuing to watch with the latest news coming out of London and elsewhere. The tributes are coming in for Queen Elizabeth II as she passes at the age of 96. She was born the same year as my mother. Ozzy Osbourne is performing at the Rams-Bills game tonight, where I'm hearing there's going to be a moment of silence. I'll be very, very curious what he says, if it impacts his... I mean, I don't know. Is he going to date Crazy Train to Her Late Majesty? Might he play? Here's what I would love, that during the halftime show, he plays God Save the King. I think that would just bring down the house, that a house full of Rams house, full of tens of thousands of people who are so happy we threw off the monarchy nearly 250 years ago, will be standing and crying as Ozzy Osbourne. He may cry. He may be a blubbering idiot, but, you know, who can, you know, he's Ozzy. He's been through a lot. All right. One of the ways I get paid is through Meta, which owns Facebook. They pay me to write a bulletin called Wells Street. It's at janewells.bulletin.com. It's a business column where they allow me to write whatever I want to write about, as long as it's, you know, money related, and everything's money related. This is the facts. Everything, every story is a money story, if you will just look at it. And you need to follow the money to find the truth. Well, one of the most fascinating stories, because I'm always looking for a way, you know, to make a couple extra bucks, there is this app called Swimply, which is like the Airbnb for swimming pools. It's only been out for a couple of years, but it has really taken off. In fact, they've moved their headquarters to Los Angeles, which is their number one market. And in it, about 25,000 people who own swimming pools, mostly in the United States, you can rent their pools, and a million people have done it, for, I don't know, $60 an hour, sometimes $30 an hour, sometimes $100 an hour, depending on what the amenities are. And a friend of mine, Jennifer Lloyd, who lives here nearby, she makes $5,000 a month swimming, renting out her swimming pool this summer. Now, she only does it from about May through, you know, who knows, October. But she's making money hand over fist. And she, you think, well, what about the liability? Well, you know, Swimply, the company, provides homeowners with $1 million in general liability, which isn't going to cover you if somebody dies, but will cover maybe if somebody breaks a leg. So she tries to reduce her negligence factor by keeping the water crystal clear and removing anything that people might trip over. But if you go to her house, which she rents usually for about $70 an hour, depending, you'll get free access to a bathroom, a grill. She's got floaty toys. She's got, you know, a charging station, shuffleboard, which has turned out to be great because people will extend their stay. So I went over there a couple weekends ago to see what the deal was. And there was a group of people there, Erica Schweizman and her friends, six adults, two kids and a dog. They paid together $700 to rent her pool for 5 hours. $700. I said, you know, for that price, you guys could have gone to Disneyland. And she told me, I don't, you know, do you want to go to Disneyland when it's 105 degrees? No. And she said, I don't want to be in a big sweaty Disneyland. This way you have a pool for the day. You have a party. You keep it chill. Jennifer has some rules. If you're screaming, she will tell you to stop it because she does have neighbors. And that's kind of a big deal. The CEO told me you need to have good conversations with your neighbors, and they have a complaint page on their website for neighbors to complain if you're too loud. But they had a great time, and I thought, so I interviewed the CEO, a guy named Bunham Laskin, who was training, you're not going to believe it, to be a rabbi in Israel when his mom had her, I don't know, 12th child. And so he ended up like renting the neighbor's pool, and then people started asking him to rent the pool out for them, and boom, this is how it happens, people. This is how it happens. This is how you become the new tech superstar, is through thinking like, wow, maybe there's a business here. He's managed to, he went on Shark Tank, got rejected. He's raised $50 million since. Ha! And he's making, the company is making 8 figures a month right now. So that is over $10 million a month in revenues in several markets that they are in. So I think it's an amazing story. I have a pool, but I will not rent it out for two reasons. One, I don't really have a bathroom you could easily access. I'm too afraid of the liability, and I wouldn't want to tick my neighbors off. Guys in the booth, anybody, Mark?
Questions. I had this, okay. Speaking of pool floaties, do they clean it between the users?
Oh, yes. No, they've invested also in extra chemicals. She's out there cleaning the pool twice a day. You should see her schedule. It is back to back to back. In fact, her husband sometime wants to go. He'll be out floating in the pool. She's like, you got to get out of there. We have people coming. I got to get this clean. And he's like, but I want to enjoy the pool. She says, look, you know, how about, you know, we're going to make $200 on these people. He's like, okay, I'm out. Plus, the pool's great for people who don't want to be go out in public. Maybe they have body issues or prosthetics and they're uncomfortable being seen. It's a fascinating story. Do you have any other questions?
Well, it just kind of reminds me of using somebody's bathwater after they're finished. Well, you want that stuff clean.
Right. Well, and you know what happens in a pool. I don't care. Yes, yeah, so she's cleaning
the
pool.
Oh, yes, you do.
But you know that anyhow. If you go to a public pool, you know, I mean, the ocean, but the ocean's a big toilet, so it diffuses pretty quickly. But, you know, I see you. Eric, what do you think?
Well, I just have a question. Why don't, if they're making so much money, like, extra money from renting out the pool, why does your friend have to do all of the cleaning of the pool? Why can't they hire a pool guy? That
well,
just seems like a lot of extra
stuff.
She does
hire a pool guy, but if you have somebody in the pool, if you have three parties in a day, the pool guy's not coming over. So she's out there cleaning in between, and the pool guy comes once a week. By the way,
for the right price, he might come.
And they also, by the way, she has an extra room which she does Airbnb. She's making money like right, left. But Erica, the woman I talked to, made a good point. She said, well, you know, some of these places are so expensive, you might as well get an Airbnb with a pool. And then you get the whole house. So I just think, why can't I? What is the next thing we can share? Like, would you like to borrow my washer dryer? I'll do, you know, washably. Excuse me. Would you like to borrow my shoes? Can we swap shoes? Not underwear. I don't think we're going there yet. But would anybody rent? Anybody? I'm asking you, Dylan, Ray, Dana, would you rent?
No chance for me.
Why? Because if somebody's been in the pool?
Yeah.
You don't believe it.
I like my privacy. I want to use my pool.
Oh, okay. All right. Dylan, Ray?
Oh, yeah. I would never have somebody in my backyard, even if they gave me money for it like that. I don't think so.
Okay. Right?
I say bring it on. Let's party, baby.
Let's make some money.
Yeah.
Let's make some money.
You know, I don't like people anyways, so I mean, I might as well make money off of them.
And she stays in the house. She stays in the house. They don't even know she's there.
I just don't want anybody getting baptized in my pool.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I will say one thing before we go. There's been some unusual requests. Swimsuit models and underwear models have rented, and they asked her if it was okay because they can't have tan lines. Can they be nude? And she said, you bet. You know, she has hedges around, but they got Ring cameras everywhere, so they knew, but that was unusual.
There is totally porn getting shot at these things.
Well, for a price, and you're not breaking any laws. Jane Wells filling in for John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We will be back after this news break with the latest on this crazy murder of a Las Vegas reporter.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Life is uncertain. It's okay to feel stressed, anxious, worried, or frustrated. It's normal. With CalHOPE's free and secure mental health resources, it's easy to get the help you and your loved ones need when you need it the most. Call our warm line at 833-317-4673 or live chat at calhope.org today.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.